chapter 8, verse 11. We'll eventually end up on verse 21, Lord willing. So let's pray, and then we will dig in. God, we come to you today, and I thank you, dear Lord, that we have the freedom and the privilege to come in this house and worship you freely. I pray that you would be with us this morning, God, that you would just help us to be free of the worries and the distractions and the stresses and the pains and just all the stuff of this world, dear Lord, that just weighs heavy on our mind and on our heart. And I pray that we would not be distracted from you by those things, but that in these few minutes, God, that you would just protect us from any attacks of the enemy, any temptations to wander off. But I pray that you give us a heart to hear this morning, that you give us ears to hear, God, that we would listen to you, that your Holy Spirit would just meet us where we are today, and that you'd do a good work in us, God. We come here today to hear from you. So I pray, dear Lord, that you'd be glorified in these words. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In Mark chapter 8, verse 11, we are going to kind of jump right in here to where some Pharisees are approaching Jesus, wanting to see a sign. And the Pharisees were really, they were always kind of following Jesus around, and they didn't like Jesus' teaching. They always were testing him and trying him, seeing how he was going to respond. And that's what we see here in this passage this morning in verse 11. The Pharisees came out and began to argue with him, demanding of him a sign from heaven to test him. But sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, "Why does just this generation demand a sign? I assure you, no sign will be given to this generation." Then he left them, got on board the boat again, and went to the other side. So here are these Pharisees. Now, by this point, Jesus had done a lot of stuff, a lot of really cool stuff. He had healed people. We see by this point in the book of Mark, Mark really talks a lot about Jesus driving out demons, and no doubt that some of the people who had seen these things would have been Pharisees. At the very least, they had heard, but I suspect that some of the Pharisees had seen these things. And all throughout Jesus' ministry, we see that there's this group of people that are constantly demanding a sign, demanding that Jesus do something. Even up until his death on the cross, there's this group that's just constantly demanding, do this thing, do that thing. But the problem is that Jesus had done many things throughout his ministry. He had healed so many people, and he had taught the Word of God so beautifully. He had even raised people from the dead. It's not that they had not already seen signs and wonders and miracles, but they wanted more. It's almost as though they wanted Jesus to perform on their terms. Jesus, do this thing for us. Now, what's so bad about that? If you look at other people in Scripture, they come to Jesus and they're constantly asking, "Jesus, would you heal me? Jesus, would you drive this demon out from my family member? Jesus, would you do this or would you do that?" What's the difference between the Pharisees when they ask Jesus to do something and all those others who ask Jesus, and often of which Jesus does what they ask? The difference is the heart in which they're asking it. You see, the Pharisees, they're coming to Jesus, and they want Jesus to perform on their terms. "Jesus, you do what we ask you to do, and then we will believe you." But they would have never believed Jesus. Jesus could have come off of that cross. He could have showed all of his power, should he have wanted to. But I suspect that group of people still would not have believed Jesus, because their heart was not right. Because they had been exposed to Jesus. They had seen Jesus. They had seen Jesus' miracles. They had heard from Jesus. many times before, and they continued to reject Jesus because their heart was not right. And this was the group of people that would have been really considered to be the most religious people. I mean, these would have been the group of people that would have been trying to teach others the Word of God, the Old Testament, and the laws of God, and the instruction of God. These would have been the holier-than-thous, if we can call them that. I mean, this is this group that keeps demanding of Jesus a sign, but they never were going to trust Jesus because the work that Jesus did was good enough. And they were either going to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus had the power to forgive sins, that Jesus had the power to heal and do anything else that he wanted to do, or they were not going to believe it. And so they often came to Jesus demanding signs and wanting Jesus to do something for them. But their heart was not right. But then we see so many instances in Scripture where others have heard of Jesus, where others have seen the miracles of Jesus, and they said, wow, there's something about this man. There's something about the way he teaches. I want to go hear him teach. There's something about the way that he heals people. There's something about this man that is unique. It is different. And people who had that heart, they would seek Jesus out and they would come to him. Some probably were questioning. Some probably were wondering, I don't know about this guy. I hear these things. I want to investigate a little further. But some in that crowd were people who had heard of Jesus, who had believed Jesus' teachings and what he said and what he was doing, and they came to seek Jesus out. And they came and they humbled themselves before Jesus, and they would beg him just to heal them, or they would seek just to touch him, just to experience his power. And those people are the people who were saved. Not the people who expected Jesus to respond and act on their terms, at their commands, but those who come to Jesus to seek him and to follow his commands. And so these Pharisees had come to Jesus, and he says here, look, you want a sign, you're not going to get a sign. Now he says in other scripture, we see that he says the only sign that they will be given is the sign of Jonah. That is to say that as Jonah was in the belly of the big fish for 3 days and then he got out, so it will be for the Son of Man. So it would be for Jesus Christ. Here is the sign. He says, if you want a sign, there's coming a sign. Here's what the sign is going to be. And listen, this is a sign for us too. The sign is this, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this world to do the will of God, to give his life on a cross, to be placed in the tomb, and 3 days later to be raised and seated at the right hand of God. That is the sign. That's the sign that we have to say today. That's the sign that we have to see right here today. All these things that the Pharisees knew about, we know about. Well, not all of them. They probably knew about more than we do. We know about what's written in Scripture, which is sufficient evidence. We know about what God's Word says. We know about the miracles. We know about the healings. We know about the teachings. We know about the example of Jesus Christ. And most of all, we know that he has been raised from the tomb. So we have all the evidence that the Pharisees had. And the question is, what will you do with the evidence that you see and that you hear from Scripture? Maybe today you're like the Pharisees. You say, Jesus, I'd believe in you if you'd just do this. If you just do what I tell you to do, Jesus, I'd believe in you. But maybe what Jesus is saying to you today is if you just do what I tell you to do, maybe then you'd believe in me. So today we have the evidence of the Pharisees. Will we accept him or will we reject him? They demanded a sign, and they received that sign when Jesus was crucified and resurrected, and so it is for us today. So after he had this little interaction with them, it says he got back in the boat. They'd been in the boat, and they went on their way to the next place. In verse 14, they had forgotten to take bread and had only one loaf with them in the boat. Then he commanded them, "Watch out, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." All right, so they get back in the boat. And they were hungry, probably like all of us. We're pretty blessed that hopefully we're pretty blessed that we all have some food. We all eat snacks between times. And they had been doing this work of Jesus, and they were hungry. They wanted some bread. But they realized that they didn't bring any bread with them. That was what was on the mind of the disciples, that they did not bring any bread on this trip with them. And Jesus uses this opportunity to teach them. Now, Jesus often used opportunities and parables and things that maybe didn't make a lot of sense in the time, but he would use these practical things to bring forth these kind of deep teachings that were crucial. And so they're talking about bread, and in the process, Jesus says, "Hey, you need to beware of the yeast of the Pharisees." Now, Jesus here is not talking about bread. And they continue on in the next verse. It says in verse 16, they were discussing among themselves, they did not have any bread. So they're talking about bread. Jesus says, hey, while you're talking about bread, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. And they kept on talking about, we ain't got no bread. Now, Jesus is making a crucial point here. He's making a contrast between the yeast, that is the teaching of the Pharisees, and his teaching. Now, the teaching of the Pharisees were running rampant in those days. As I said, these would have been very religious people. And so they were teaching a lot of things that were not right, that were not accurate, that were not truly representing God and the Word of God and the commands of God. And that's why when Jesus came on the Sermon on the Mount, he would say stuff like, you have heard it said, but I tell you this. Jesus says, I'm going to show you and I'm going to teach you what the Scripture says, because many of those who are teaching you now are not doing a good job. So I'm coming and I'm going to teach you these things so that you understand them in a better way. And at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, they say, hey, this man teaches as one who has authority. There's something that's different about his teaching. Why? Because he was preaching and teaching godly things. The religious group, the Pharisees and all these other people, they were preaching and teaching religion and following a set of rules, many of which they made up, that did not draw people closer to God, but only put a greater burden on them. And Jesus says, I am coming to free you of that burden. I don't want you to be religious. I want you to be made righteous. I want you to understand that when God gives some of these crazy instructions in the law, here's what God really means. And that's why Jesus sums it up so beautifully when he says, I'm paraphrasing even what Jesus said, love God and love your neighbor. Jesus says, this is what the law boils down to. This is what you need to get. This is what you need to understand. This is how you need to live your life. You need to live your life serving God and loving your neighbor. And if you get that, even 2,000 years later today, if we get that, we've got it. If we get that, we're on the right track. If we don't get that, if we just come to church and we still read the Bible and we don't get that, then we're probably not any better than the Pharisees. We're just religious people looking for signs. When Jesus says, look at what I did. Look at my preaching. Look at my teaching. Look at the things that I've done. The Pharisees' teaching was bad yeast, so to speak. Now, when you make bread, bread is probably the most simple thing in the world to make. It requires two ingredients, flour and water. That's it. If you got flour and water, you can make bread. Now, if you don't put anything but flour and water, it's going to be flat bread. It's just going to be pretty flat. It's not going to rise. It's not going to do anything. But even with just flour and water, you can take that and put it in a jar, let it sit for a few days, take a little out, add a little more to it along the way, and pretty soon it's going to begin to ferment. It's going to build up some bacteria, and you can use that to put in your bread, and then you can have sourdough bread. Or you can go out, and you can go all into the wilderness, and you can scrape bark off of trees, and you can find fungus all over the place and everything, and it's a little fungus that you can put in your bread, and it's yeast. And what does that do? You put it in there, And all of a sudden, that bread begins to bake up nice and pretty and rise so nice and neat. Y'all didn't know I knew all this stuff about bread. I should have baked y'all some bread and brought it to you today. But yeast is important. There's nothing wrong with a flat bread. Maybe you've had flat bread before. Maybe you've had sourdough bread. But a good old yeast rising fluffy piece of bread with some nice butter slathered on that, that's good stuff. So yeast in and of itself isn't a bad thing. But you got to use good yeast if you want good bread. And Jesus says, be very careful. Because the Pharisees, the things that they're teaching you, it's not going to amount to nothing. It's going to stay flat. If you live by their teachings, you're going to stay flat. But Jesus said, I want you to rise. And so he says, you need to beware of the teaching of the Pharisees, and the disciples didn't get a bit of it. It went right over their head. Went right over their head. They said, we didn't bring any bread. Maybe they were thinking, well, we don't have any Pharisee bread. We don't have any bread. Don't worry about bread. Jesus is trying to teach them the deeper and more important things of life, and they are worried about bread. Now, we don't ever do that, do we? We're probably guilty of that sometimes when we have our big eatings at church. We get in here and we got all that food back there, boy, it starts smelling good. And then I get wound up and I preach to like 12:15, and y'all are like, this is the worst sermon ever. And you don't even really know what the sermon's about. You just know that it's past 12 o'clock and therefore it's the worst sermon ever because we're too worried about our food. Or when we don't have food, we're too worried about what's outside of those doors. And we're too worried about everything except for what God wants to teach us. And here they are with Jesus. And boy, you would think that these disciples would just be soaking up every word he said and be saying, Jesus, tell us what that means. Jesus, tell us what that's about. But that's not how they're portrayed. You read the book of Mark. They're not really portrayed, these disciples, as being too bright. And we say, boy, if I'd have been there with Jesus, I'd be seeking every word he said. No, you wouldn't. Because you don't do it today. You don't read the word today. You don't spend time seeking to do God's word today. You said, but if I'd have been with him, I would have. No, you wouldn't. So we're no better than the disciples. We're just as rotten. We're just as slow. It's not that we don't love Jesus. It's not that we don't believe Jesus' words. We're just kind of slow sometimes. And Jesus may want to teach us in such a deep and beautiful way, and we're worried about bread. And Jesus goes on to tell them in the next verse. Verse 17, aware of this, he said to them, why are you discussing that you do not have any bread? Don't you understand or comprehend? Is your heart hardened? Now, that's interesting language. Now, when we think about people in Scripture who have a hardened heart, probably the first person most of us think about is Pharaoh in the Old Testament. That Pharaoh was supposed to let God's people go, and he said, I'm going to let them go, and he wouldn't let them go, and he's going to let them go, and he wouldn't let them go. And it says God hardened his heart because he continually rejected the things that God was trying to show him. And God hardened his heart. And we think about people who have a hardened heart. We think about really bad, evil people who reject God. But listen to what Jesus said here. Why are you talking about bread? Has your heart been hardened? And this is not the first time Jesus has said this to them, because he said the same thing to them back in Mark chapter 6, verse 52. After Jesus, they're in the boat, the storm comes, they're in the boat, Jesus comes walking across the water. They're afraid, they think it's a ghost coming across the water. They're terrified, and Jesus says the same thing to them. Let's flip back to Mark chapter 6. That's a good story. We're going to flip back there. It's just a couple of pages. It's easy for you to get to. Mark chapter 6. Go down to about... let's see if we can find our verse here. About verse 50. Mark chapter 6, verse 50. For they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke with them and said, have courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. They were completely astounded, because they had not understood about the loaves. Instead, their hearts were hardened. Now, isn't that interesting? Both of these passages are very similar. Here Jesus is walking across the water. They're terrified. He says, look, don't be afraid. It's me. Don't be afraid. And it says they did not understand because their hearts were hardened, because they didn't understand about what? About the loaves, about bread. Isn't that interesting? Now, right before this, Jesus had just fed 5,000 people, which is pretty incredible. If you've ever been part of a big feeding before, it's an incredible thing to feed a lot of people. It takes a lot of work and a lot of preparation and a lot of food. But Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus said, look, these people need something to eat. The disciple says, how are we going to feed them? Jesus says, what you got? Well, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus says, let's feed these people. He blessed it. They started handing out the food, and they fed all of them, 5,000 men plus women and children, remember how many that was, and they still had bread left. Jesus had took a little bit of bread, and he had used it to feed thousands and thousands of people, and the disciples still didn't understand the power of Jesus. They should have understood, whoa, this is amazing. This is amazing what Jesus has just done. He has just done a miracle. But it says that their hearts were hardened. They did not understand the loaves. They still did not recognize the power of Jesus. And when Jesus come walking on the water, when the winds were blowing, they still were afraid because they were not trusting in Jesus and they hadn't fully recognized Jesus and who he was and what he could do. Flip back to Mark chapter 8. Back to Mark chapter 8. End of verse 17 says, don't you understand or comprehend? Is your heart hardened? Now Jesus is fixing to teach them something important here that he wants them to understand. He's talking about the yeast of the Pharisees' teaching, but he's also talking about his teaching and his life and his examples and his ministry. And he wants the apostles to understand his power. He wants them to understand and to trust who he is. And he says in verse 18, do you have eyes and not see? And do you have ears and not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of pieces of bread did you collect? 12, they told him. When I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of pieces of bread did you collect? 7, they said. And he said to him, and he said to them, don't you understand yet? Now here these disciples are. They get in the boat. They talk about bread. Jesus says, look, don't fall into the traps of the Pharisees. They're worried about bread. They're worried about bread. The apostles who had just a few weeks or a few months earlier had seen Jesus feed 5,000 plus people with 5 loaves of bread, and then right before this story had seen Jesus feed 4,000 plus people with 7 loaves of bread, and the disciples are worried about bread. Jesus says, don't you get it? Do you not understand who I am? Do you not see what I've done? Do you not know that I will provide for you? Do you not know that I'm not going to let you go hungry? That you're sitting in the boat with the Son of God? That I can make something out of nothing? That I could take 1 loaf of bread and feed the whole world? Do you not understand yet, Jesus said? Have you been with me all this time and missed my power and missed the miracles and missed everything that I've come to teach you and to show you? Do you not understand yet? And what about you and I? Do we not understand yet? Maybe we're just as guilty of the apostles, and we see the works of Jesus, and we believe that he is the Messiah, 11 of them did. 11 of these apostles did. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They believed that He was the Son of God. They believed that He could do miracles. They knew who He was, but they still didn't get it. They still weren't trusting in Him fully. They still weren't fully dependent on Him. They still were worried about the simple things of the world when Jesus says, "Don't worry about what you'll wear or what you will eat or where you will live. I will take care of these things." Don't you get it? Don't you understand yet, Jesus says? Seek me. Follow my teachings. Don't give in to the things of the world. Don't seek the things of the world. Don't seek the ways of the world. But I will take care of you. And perhaps we need to be reminded of that today. Perhaps for some in this room, you know who Jesus is. You know that He is the Son of God. You know that He is raised from the dead. You know that He has done miracles. You believe it. But we're not any better than the apostles. Life comes along. We wonder where our next bread's going to come from. We wonder about our health problems that we're up against. We worry about our loved ones. We worry about our job. We worry about all of these things in the world that are real and they are serious and they are on our minds every day and they frighten us and we are afraid and we wonder, how am I going to make it through? Lord, will I make it? And maybe Jesus wants to tell us today, do you not understand yet? Do you not understand that I will take care of you? Do you not understand that I will provide the bread that you need? That I will be with you as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Do you not understand that my teachings are good and they are right? Do you not understand that the way of the world and those around you is not good for you? It doesn't provide for you, but I will never leave you or forsake you. Do you not understand yet? Maybe today the Lord is calling us to give it all to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I don't understand, but I want to understand. I believe, but help my unbelief." Jesus knows that we are weak. Praise the Lord, God knows that we are weak. And we don't understand. But what we need to understand is that Jesus loves us today. That Jesus will take care of you today. You have seen the power of Jesus in Scripture, and if you haven't, then read the Scripture. You'll see the power of Jesus. You'll know what He has done and what He can do, and I can promise you today that He is with you and He will not leave you, that He will provide for you. And I cannot tell you today that your life will be easy or that your situation will be better when you leave this place, but I can tell you that Jesus Christ is with you. And He's going to take care of you. Don't miss Him. Boy, the disciples were slow. It took them a long time to be with Jesus and to see Jesus and to try to learn from Jesus. And Jesus would do some of the most amazing things. And they'd just be scratching their head. And they'd say, "Jesus, could you tell us what you mean?" So don't feel bad. Maybe we sit here today and we confess to ourselves, "God, I don't understand. God, I don't understand yet. But God, I want you to help me to understand. I want you to help me to put my trust in Jesus Christ." Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this good word, this good story, dear Lord, that you share with us through your word. And I pray that you would help us to not be like the Pharisees this morning, dear Lord. That we would not seek a Savior who does what we want when we ask Him to. But that we would seek a Savior that we need, dear Lord. Not because we are deserving, but because He loves us, God. So I pray today that we would be those who come in faith to know that we need Jesus. That we have heard of who Jesus is. I pray that you would help us, dear Lord, to continually be in your word to see Jesus. To see His miracles, to see His love, to see His mercy, to see His compassion, dear Lord. Maybe there are some here this morning, God, that have never seen that about Jesus. They don't know that about Jesus. I pray today that they would know that Jesus Christ has given His life on a cross so that their sins could be forgiven. That He is seated at Your right hand, God. That He is victorious today. That He is strength for us today. That if we would just call out to You and seek You, dear Lord, You'd be faithful to forgive us of our sins if we would just confess and repent, dear Lord. So maybe there are some here today and they don't really know Jesus. Maybe they know about Him, dear Lord, but they don't follow Him. They've never confessed their sins. I pray that today that they would, dear Lord. Maybe there are some who came into this room today and they didn't understand, but maybe today for the first time they do have some better understanding. Maybe they understand for the first time that Jesus is the Savior of the world. God, maybe there are others in this room and they're Yours. And we are just as boneheaded as these apostles, dear Lord. We love You and we know Your word, but we just fail to understand. We fail in sin. We doubt. Our faith is weak, dear Lord. We see Your word. We've seen Your power. And we should trust You in everything and never question and never doubt or never worry. But dear Lord, we do. We've seen Your power and we just don't get it, dear Lord. So I pray that You would help us to get it just a little bit better today. Dear Lord, You ask, do You understand yet? And God, maybe we understand some, but we don't understand all we want to. So help us to understand better today when we leave than when we came into this place. God, that we would know You provide for us, that You take care of us. That God, You can do a lot with a little. And maybe there are some in here today in their life in many different areas. There ain't much there. Maybe there's a little that they're struggling with. But dear Lord, You can take that little and You can do something great with it. Just as You took that few loaves of bread and did a miracle, dear Lord, so You can in our lives. So I pray, dear Lord, that You would help us to seek You today, to grow in You today, and to trust You more today. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen.